I want to preach tonight on the only psalm. The only psalm. Well, maybe you say, well, what are you talking about? Sure, there's 150 psalms. Well, what I mean tonight by the only psalm is that Psalm 62 is called the only psalm. The psalm that we read at the start of the service, this psalm is commonly known as the only psalm. The reason why it's called the only psalm is, I suppose, pretty obvious. It's because the word only is mentioned in the psalm. If you look at it there, Psalm 62, and you notice verse 2, Psalm 62, verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. Go down to verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. And verse 4, of course, is referring to the enemies of Christ. They want to destroy him. They're filled with rage against the Savior. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. Can you see now why it's called the only psalm? And so I want us tonight to think about this psalm. But before we go any further, let me just give you, you could call it context or a little bit of background to this psalm. You see, whenever we read the scriptures, we need to try to understand when it was written. When did David, the psalmist, speak these words? When did he write down these words? When did the Holy Spirit inspire David and guide him to record every word, indeed every syllable of Psalm 62? When did it happen? Well, it happened whenever Absalom was rebelling against him. Now, I want this to be an encouragement tonight because Absalom was David's son. I suppose you could say that Absalom was the Old Testament equivalent of the prodigal son. And you see, Absalom had turned against his father. Absalom was going the opposite direction of his father. Now, I wonder tonight, is there some father in the meeting and you're discouraged because your son is going the opposite direction that you're going? Well, I want you to be heartened tonight, to take heart. I want you to be encouraged tonight because David went through exactly what you're going through tonight. And as your heart breaks because of that son, or maybe it's a daughter, a wayward child tonight, far from God, I want you to take encouragement from Psalm 62 because it was whenever David's heart was broken for his child that he wrote this psalm. You see, Psalm 62 is a psalm of trust. It's really to do with trust and faith. David is expressing his faith in the Lord. And in verse 2, he says, He only is my rock and my salvation. You see, David is really saying here, yes, Absalom is rising up against me, and my life is under threat. There's a death sentence hanging over my head. My life is in danger, but that doesn't really matter because the Lord is my rock and my salvation. And in the great scheme of things, what does it matter when men have risen up against me? The Lord is on my side, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 5, David says, My soul, wait thou only upon God. Sometimes you hear people say that, oh, if you talk to yourself, you must be going mad. So-and-so talks to themselves, and they must be away in the head. Well, not always. Because David wasn't away in the head. David wasn't insane here. But in verse 5, he's talking to himself. And he says, My soul, wait thou only upon God. He's encouraging his own soul and he's exhorting his own soul to continue to trust in the Lord. Suppose it's really what the New Testament says. You know, 2 Corinthians speaks about walking by faith and not by sight. That's really what faith is. It's very easy to have faith whenever, you know, the pews are filled and you're not looking down at Wood family. We heard that on Thursday night. The empty pews, the Wood family. Well, in a lot of churches, that's the way it is today. They're empty pews, but it's easy whenever the crowds come to the church. It's easy to have faith then, but it's not so easy to have faith whenever the pews are empty. But the Lord would say to us tonight, that's when you need to have faith, and that is true faith. Whenever you put your trust in the Lord during the hard times, whenever the tide is out. You know, the tide's out at the present time in our land. But you know, the tide's going to come in someday. I don't know when it'll come back in, but you see, the Lord promises the tide will come in. In the last days, the Lord says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And you see, whenever the Spirit of the Lord is poured out, then it'll be Christ in the midst. It'll be Jesus exalted. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in revival. Everybody's thinking about Christ and talking about Christ and His finished work, and it's all about Him. As we read in Matthew 17, Jesus only. People aren't taken up with all the wee Mickey Mouse issues, and they're not taken up with all the experiences and the sensations and all the rest of it, but they're just taken up with one person, Jesus Christ. When the tide comes in. Don't keep your eyes on the waves. Keep your eyes on the tide. For the tide's coming back in. Verse 6. It's good to repeat. David repeats himself here in verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. It's the same as verse 2. On Friday nights, we repeat the Bible verse to the children. The idea is if you go over it often enough, the Holy Spirit can take it and help the children to understand it. It's all about repetition. And David here, he repeats his words. He repeats his trust, his confidence in the Lord. He only is my rock. David doesn't say that, you know, the Lord is my rock, but, you know, there's somebody else is my rock too, and something else is my rock. The Lord's not some kind of partner in salvation here as far as David's concerned. No, David says it's only the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. David's trust for time and for eternity is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the coming Savior. But let's move to the New Testament now tonight. We've read from Matthew 17. And keep in mind that we're thinking about the only psalm. Keep that word only in your mind and turn over again to Matthew 17. And we have the Lord Jesus here up on the mountain with the disciples, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And you notice in verse 8, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Jesus only, or Jesus alone. Christ alone. Isn't that what the hymn says? In Christ alone my hope is found. We don't sing it very often. Maybe we'll have to start singing that song, that hymn. It's a great hymn. There's great words. In Christ alone. But here in Matthew 17, that's just what it's speaking of. Christ alone. It's the word alone that I want you to think about as we finish tonight. You see, next year will be the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Whenever Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg in Germany, the Protestant Reformation broke out. And my, what a blessed year it was. And I trust that we're looking forward to that anniversary next year. God forbid that we would let 2017 go by without marking it. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. I'm going to say something tonight. It might shock you. There'll be churches in Ulster and they'll not mention it. They'll not mention Martin Luther. They'll not mention the Protestant Reformation. They'll not mention justification by faith alone. How sad. What a tragedy. But we're going to mention it. Don't you fret about that. Because this is what salvation is really all about. It's that word alone. Alone. You see, you think about the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church claims to believe in Scripture alone. Okay? They claim and they talk about the Scripture and they talk about the Bible. And they say, oh, we're all for Scripture. But it's not true. It's nonsense because it's not Scripture alone. It's Scripture and tradition. And that's what the Church of Rome is built upon, Scripture and tradition. It's not Scripture only. It's Scripture plus tradition. Well, we believe in Scripture alone. It is the only guide that we have. It's really where we go to, no matter what the issue is. The Bible asks the question, what saith the Scripture? And every time, friends, we want to know how to live and what to preach and how to speak, we need to ask the question, what does the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? And really, the Bible, whatever the Bible says, that settles it. That's the end of it. And tradition is of no importance compared to Scripture. That's why we, even in Protestant circles, we need to be so careful that what we believe and what we preach is what the Scripture says and not just man-made tradition. But Scripture alone, that was one of the great watchwords of the Reformation. Scripture only. Are you keeping in mind Psalm 62, the only psalm? Scripture alone. The Church of Rome claims to believe in faith alone. But it's faith plus good works. It's faith plus coming to the church. It's faith plus receiving the sacraments. It's faith plus penance. It's faith plus pilgrimages. It's faith plus this and faith plus that. And it's a combination. It's not faith alone. It's not faith only. But you see, tonight we believe in faith alone. Yes, and some people say, well, what about the book of James? It says faith without works is dead, and that we're justified by works. Well, let me explain that. We are justified by works before other people. It's not talking about before God. Before God, we are justified by faith, faith alone. And what James means when he talks about faith plus works, he's more or less saying, well, now there's no point in saying you're saved and you're born again and then going out and living like the devil, because it just doesn't add up. So as far as the world is concerned, we need to live lives that are holy and that are different. Lives that don't bring the gospel into disrepute. But as far as being saved and justified and accepted in the court of heaven and acquitted in the court of heaven, it's by faith alone, in Christ alone. The Church of Rome claims to believe that Christ is the one who has the ability to preserve and protect. They say that Christ is the one, they claim to believe that Christ is the one who forgives sins, but then they say, come to the confessional and confess your sins to another man, to the priest. And supposedly he is the one who has the power to forgive sins, the power to give absolution. Well, of course, we know that that's false, that's untrue. There's only one person who can forgive sins. It's Christ alone, Jesus only, Jesus alone. We look to him for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever Jesus healed the paralyzed man, he said, the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Now you mark those words, upon earth, because if you're not saved tonight, your sins need to be forgiven, but mark my words, don't leave it too late. Don't leave it until you leave this earth. Don't wait until you leave this earth, because it'll be too late. And when you leave this scene of time, you can pray and shout and cry all you like to Jesus, but he'll not forgive your sins, because sins can only be forgiven upon earth, on the earth. Let me ask you tonight, are your sins forgiven? Let me just put it really straight and simple tonight. Have you ever talked to Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins? I mean, that's really simple. That's not complicated. Have you ever done that? Or are you still clinging to some old thing that's going to let you down in the end? Your religious life, your respectable behavior. You say that you would never use foul language. Oh, you believe in being a good neighbor, helping your neighbor. You believe in giving to charity. You believe in being a member of the church, a member of this organization, a member of that organization, all the rest of it. Is that what you're depending on? Well, friend, I'm going to warn you tonight, it's going to let you down in the end. Because you have sins to be forgiven, and Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive sins. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church claims to believe that Christ is the Savior, but then they add to the Savior Mary and the angels and the saints. And they put all these people on the same level as Christ. And it's not Jesus only. As far as David was concerned, it was Jesus only. He only is my rock and my salvation. As far as Peter, James, and John were concerned, it was Jesus only. And that's been the message of the church ever since, the true church of Christ. Jesus only. The hymn writer said, Jesus only is our message. May the Lord help us to continue preaching that message. And if that message bores people, well then so be it. But that's the message we're going to preach, because that's the only message that saves. Jesus only, Christ alone, can forgive sins. Rome says that she believes in the headship of Christ. In other words, that Christ is the head of the church. But as far as she's concerned, he's not the sole head of the church. He's not the head of the church only alone. Because you've got the pontiff in the Vatican, the Pope, and he is on the same level as Christ. He's the vicar of Christ upon earth, they say, the representative of Christ upon earth, the ambassador of Christ upon earth. Well, that's very funny, because I read in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is the representative of Christ on earth. He's the ambassador for Jesus upon earth. So, I mean, which do we believe? Do we believe the Roman Catholic Church and what they say and what they pronounce, or do we believe the Scriptures? Well, I don't know about you, but it's not a hard question for me to answer. I believe what the Bible says. We believe that Christ is the only King and head of the church. Let me ask the question as we finish tonight. Are you part of the church? Well, you say, I mean, what are you on about? Do you need the men in the white coats? Do you need your head red? Sure, I'm in church tonight. What do you mean? Are you part of the church? Well, yes, you are in the church tonight, and thank you for coming to the church, and we're so glad to see you here tonight. But you see, you could come to this church and still end up in hell. Because there was one old preacher, I'm not sure quite who it was, whether it was Tozer or whether it was Billy Sunday or some of those old preachers, and they said, and this was just so clear and so true. Listen to what they said. They said it's possible for a person to fall into hell with their hand on the doorknob of heaven. You can't get much clearer than that. That is hitting the nail fair and square on the head. Friends, it's true tonight. It's possible to fall into hell with your hand on the doorknob of heaven. It's possible to come to a church, but not to be a part of the church. Because the church I'm speaking about is not the Independent Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Church of Ireland or the Baptist Church or the whatever other church you care to mention. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. And you see, the Lord has His people in all these churches. The Lord hasn't left Himself without a witness. I know some people get hung up on denominations, but as one old preacher put it, they're abominations sometimes. Because people get so taken up with denominations, and my church, my denomination, is the only one who's right, and we've got it all worked out, and those other people and them other denominations and those people in those other groups, they're way behind us. They'd need to catch up with us. Well, I don't believe that tonight. But I believe that the Lord has His people in many, many different groups and churches. People who are born again, they're saved, washed in the blood. And at the end of the day, there's really only one church. And here's how you get into the church. By being born again. By being washed in the blood of Christ, having your sins forgiven. That's how you become a member of Christ's church. Are you part of the church? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. Oh, if you're not a part of the church tonight, if you're not a member of the one true universal church of Jesus Christ, my heart's desire and prayer for you is that you might be saved. Tell me, friend, why are you waiting? Tell me tonight, why are you clinging to something that's going to let you down at the end of the day? I don't know, maybe tonight you're depending on somebody, maybe a relative, maybe a friend, somebody you're depending on, another person. They're a Christian and you're depending on them. And you're thinking, well, when it comes to the day of judgment, that person's going to put in a good word for me and the Lord will allow me into heaven. It's not going to happen like that. You see, as one old preacher put it, when we stand before the Lord, it's going to be single file. And every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're not going to give account for somebody else, for some other hypocrite. Let the hypocrites be. Just worry about yourself tonight. What about you? What about your soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want us to sing a hymn tonight. It's not in the book, so don't worry about turning it up. But it's going to be up on the screen now. What though clouds are hovering o'er me and I seemed to walk alone, longing amid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flowing. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, that's who you need tonight. Jesus only. You don't need me to be saved. I'm just the messenger. I'm just passing on the message tonight. That's my role, my duty. That's all I can do. Please don't come to me and expect me to save you. Oh, come to Jesus only. If you have any questions, certainly feel free. I would be thrilled. I would be delighted to try to answer your questions. But that's as far as I can go. Let's stand.